Yeah, that's a neat testimony, Jesse, because you never know whose lives you're going to affect. And not only that, through her whole family and stuff. Obviously, I'm sure you guys all know about what happened this week with Charlie Kirk. So I wanted to preach the morning on persecuted. And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. This is Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read everything today from the New Living Translation. It's one of those things that I kept hearing over and over from, the Christian leaders and stuff. They're like, it's shocking what had happened, but at the same time, it's not surprising because Jesus said 2,000 years ago that's what's going to happen, and it's been happening ever since. So Matthew 3, verse 1 says, "In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, 'He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" So this was an example of what, Now, I didn't really per se follow Charlie Kirk, like young people do, because that's who he really affected. I knew somewhat about him, and then obviously, once this happened, it's like tons of people know who he is. So what I know is that he went to these, basically liberal colleges and universities because he was going there to shine the light. And so if you will go with me to John chapter 1. Because he didn't get killed because he was a conservative Republican. He got killed because he stood for the truth. So John 1:1 says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it," or the King James talks about it cannot comprehend it. "God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." So he was going basically into these dark places, these universities and colleges and campuses that, were known to be, basically against God, known to be completely left, liberal, and everything. But he wasn't going there. He didn't debate because he wanted to like overpower and argue with people just for the sake of it. He was going there because he wanted to show those people the true light, and that's exactly what he did. He had that special gift and ability to do that. And because of that, they hated him. So if you will, go with me to John chapter 15, because this is gonna be Jesus talking, and he said this is exactly what he says, what's gonna happen in these days. John 15, I'm gonna start at verse 18. "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they will listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did. yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in the scriptures. They hated me without a cause. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. So this is exactly what happened to Charlie Kirk, you know. They say that he spoke hate. That's what they're telling us. You know, they're saying we speak hate because we speak the truth, which, you know, as we know, as you study the Bible, it says in the last days, they're going to call evil good and good evil. You know, when all you're doing is speaking the truth, they're going to say you're hateful. You're speaking hate. You're stirring up strife, you know. And that's obviously what they said that he was doing when he was not. So, like I say, you know, they all said it's shocking what happened, but this isn't unsurprising in the fact that Jesus said what happened. And it's been happening for many, many years, you know. In the other countries, you know, this happens all the time. People are killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. So I think what's happening right now, though, is this has woken up a lot of the church that's been asleep. So I think a major move of God is going to happen. But at the same time, this persecution is just going to get stronger and stronger, you know. You can find, you know, who knows who all of us is going to lose our lives for the gospel, which is what we have to be willing to do. We got to be willing to die for the gospel, you know. Not just, you know, conform to the world and not, you know, there's, you know, a lot of Christians are like, well, you shouldn't, you know, go and, you know, be, you know, speak out, so to speak, in this, you know, you compromise your faith. You don't have to go attacking people, but you got to be able to stand strong on God because it's, you know, otherwise if the church doesn't stand, you know, for the truth, then the devil wins, you know. This was. You know, and everybody says this, that a big reason why Donald Trump won the presidency was because of Charlie Kirk going after the younger generation. So if that's true, then imagine if Charlie Kirk didn't, then right now Donald Trump wouldn't be president. Who knows what this country would look like today. So he wasn't going and attacking, you know, the people. He was just standing for truth and trying to get that out there. So I just encourage you today that, you know, obviously, This isn't surprising. It's just, you know, it's the time we live in. So we just got to be prepared for whatever's coming ahead for this nation and everything and just the body of Christ in general. So that's what I just wanted to encourage you today. So.
Amen. This has been kind of a rough week. Just seeing, you know, it was shocking, just like Michael said, but it really wasn't at the same time. You know, we know that it's going to happen at some point. I was thinking, you know, back in the day when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed. You know, it was shocking at that time. He was a voice that cried freedom, and it was taken. His voice was taken. But at the same time, it echoed even louder through many, many more people. And the same thing is going to happen in this way. Charlie Kirk, his voice was taken, but many, many voices will cry even louder because his is gone. Amen. And I just want to encourage you to love people, because when people are saying that we hate others and we hate people, just keep loving them. Just keep loving them. Don't get angry when people say that. Just keep loving them. Amen. All right. So I'm going to continue on with faith, authority, and the power of prayer. The title of today's is Desire for Change. And I want you to go ahead and turn to Micah chapter 7. I have a lot of scripture today, so just bear with me. Lots of scripture. We don't usually read the book of Micah very often. I was just thinking, I was going through reading, and I was just thinking how awesome it is. We all, most of us know one verse out of Micah, and that's chapter 6, verse 8, that says, "He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And I'm not going to read that whole thing. I'm going to actually read some of chapter 7. But the context of that is God is saying, or people are saying, you know, what is going to please the Lord? Are all of these sacrifices going to please the Lord? And God's like, he just wants a pure heart. He wants your heart. He wants you to treat others and love others as he loves you. That's all he wants. Amen. So in chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 18. It says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity or forgives sins and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." So, in the Bible, in Hebrews 13, verse 8, many of you know this scripture. It says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And in Malachi 3, 6, it says, "I am Jehovah, I change not." God only turns again to forgive sin. We only turn to God to repent of sin. So the word change, it means to cause to turn or pass from one state to another, to make different, to change the heart or life. And I'm just going to read a few of those. Change is just basically, you see one thing, or you're one way, and you act one way, you believe one way, and you turn around and you believe a different way. So repentance really is just a change of heart. Amen. So a desire for change has to be birthed in you. Seeds have to be sown into your heart and mind in order for you to desire something different. So, for example, last week I talked about your will. And, you know, God gave each one of us a free will. But I, in turn, cannot force you to believe the same thing that I believe. My will is separate from your will. But all of our wills should be aligned with God's will. And that can be hard if you don't know God's word, because his will is his word. So when you want something to change in your life, you have to desire for that change. You can't just be like, you can't just go through life and just think that God's just going to do everything and all you have to do is just stand back and just don't do anything. Just live your normal life and God will take care of everything. Yes, that is a part of trusting him. But relationship requires an effort from you speaking to the Lord. Amen? So Oswald Chambers, he has a quote in, anybody remember the purple book, My Utmost for His Highest? Well, they've rewritten it to make it more, make it easily understood for our language nowadays. And I've been reading that lately. And he talks about how, In this one part of, I think it was just the other day, how we have to have a relationship with the Lord, but that relationship doesn't start until a supernatural change comes on the inside of us. So I can tell you all day long that you need to have a relationship with the Lord, but if you don't have a relationship, then that means that something supernatural hasn't happened on the inside of you. It means that I can tell you to have a relationship, but if you don't even desire to have a relationship with the Lord, then it's not going to make a difference. You have to actually say yes to the Lord and submit to him and receive Jesus and say, yes, Lord, I will do what you want. I want something different, before a supernatural change can come on the inside of you and before a relationship can truly begin. Amen? You have to desire to change. You have to recognize that things aren't right. You have to become dissatisfied with what is wrong. You have to see the difference between what is wrong and what is supposed to be right. And you have to want what is right more than anything else. Maybe you're having some confusion about what is the good and right thing to do. Maybe, you know, just like nowadays, like Michael just said, many people call evil good and good evil. Maybe you don't even realize that some things are evil or some things are good because you've heard the voice of lies from the enemy. And you may have thought your whole life that something is good and find out from the truth of the Bible that it's not. Or you may have thought your whole life that something is not good, you know, the opposite, and then find out from the truth of the Bible the other direction. So either way, it is the Lord that will reveal it to you. It is the Holy Spirit. I can't change what you believe, but I can tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit has to work in your heart, that supernatural change in your heart to know this is what is right. This is what God's word says. I have to trust in it. Amen. Maybe the Holy Spirit is nudging you to want the change, to want to do something different or to believe something differently, and maybe you don't like it. You know, when Jesus interrupted Paul's life on the road to Damascus, he had to stop Paul in his tracks, and he had to tell him, why are you kicking against the pricks? Meaning, why are you pushing against the conviction that I have placed inside of you? You know, Paul was consenting to the death of Stephen. Paul was there saying, we need to do this. Stephen is wrong. And he was consenting to it. He was a witness. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said he was not giving in to those convictions. So even as he was standing there, the Holy Spirit was poking his heart and saying, this isn't right. This isn't right. And Paul was ignoring it. And every time Paul would go after God's people, the Holy Spirit would prick his heart and say, no, this isn't right. You can't be doing this. And Paul kept ignoring him until Jesus had to stop him in his tracks because he had a special plan for his life. And this whole week, I have been hearing that Charlie Kirk, that it is the same thing. It is the same thing where he was killed for speaking the truth, the same way that Stephen was. Stephen was just speaking God's word. That is literally all he was doing. And he was killed for speaking the truth of the word. He was killed for believing in Jesus Christ. And Charlie Kirk, the same thing was done to him. But just as Stephen's death brought about the transformation of Paul from Saul, the same thing is going to happen with Charlie Kirk's death. That he, even though he is gone, many, many Pauls will rise up the same way. Many, many Pauls will come out of this and speak the truth of God's word. You know, it's kind of like when you have an entire tribe of lions, you know, and you have one lion that is roaring and speaking the loudest. Say you take down that lion, what are the rest of the lions going to do? They're going to come after you because you went after part of their family. And he was part of our family. And I heard on the radio just a couple of days ago, one of the DJs on 88.5 was saying, you know, this is like, even if you don't know who he is, even if you didn't like Michael was saying, you know, we didn't really follow much because he was more for younger people, but we've listened to him sometimes. He was still the body of Christ. He was still our brother. You know, it's the same thing. But he was a loud voice. We have brothers and sisters who are dying each and every day all around the world that we don't even hear their voices. We don't even know, but they're still our brothers and sisters, and their voices will speak in one way or another. Amen? All right, so back to what is the desire of your heart, and what is motivating you to seek the Lord, to have a relationship with Him? You know, we're talking about faith and authority. You cannot walk in faith and authority if the desire of your heart is not right. If the desire of your heart is impure and your motives are not right, then you're going to think that I'm going to walk in faith and authority, but you're not going in the right direction. You're not going to know what faith you should believe for. You're not going to know even what authority you should have, because you're not going to know what's right and what's wrong. You're just not sure. Amen. So Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. So I just want to give you a little bit of reference. So this is Isaiah, and he's prophesying the day of salvation for Judah. And we know that Jesus, I mean, that's literally what his name is, salvation. Jesus is our salvation, and he has come. Amen. So we receive him. He's our salvation. Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. And that is opening the gates to, we were in spiritual darkness, and now we're in the light. We're no longer dead inside. We have a spirit man that is new and alive. Verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And that is extremely important. I want you to just, if you can, if you have a pen, underline that or bookmark it in your phone. Haha. Because when your heart is trusting in the Lord, that is when your mind is kept in perfect peace. Amen. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city. He layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. So just like pride, you know, pride takes us to a place where we think that we are confident in ourselves, that we don't really need God. We don't really need salvation. We don't really need to change. So really, pride destroys the desire for change. Pride is horrifying to a believer. Verse 6, the foot shall tread it down, even the foot of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name. And that is, remember last week we talked about how our mind, our will, and our emotions is our soul. So the desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. So we have to want Jesus, and we have to want what he has said to us. Amen. Verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness, Amen. Remember last week we talked about how your judgment, if you, like you can't make a right decision if in your heart you don't believe what is right. If you believe what is wrong and think that it's right, you're going to follow your will. Like someone in the world, you may go out there and in their heart, they believe that something is right, even though God has declared it is wrong. You can't change what they are thinking and what they are deciding, but the Holy Spirit can. And that's where you really, really have to trust in the Lord. You cannot just force yourself on someone else's judgment. You just have to let the Lord change their heart. Amen? It does not mean that you don't speak the truth. And then I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 13. 1 John 5, 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." So again, God's word is his will. When you don't know what to ask the Lord, speak his word. Speak his word. When you feel like you don't have peace, go back to that verse. It says in his word, "God, your word says that when I trust in you, I have your peace that passes all understanding. Your peace floods my mind. It takes me over. It dwells in me." So you have to take God's word and bring it back to him. When the enemy is attacking you and taking away those things that belong to you, you have to speak his word because that's his will. God hears you and he gives you what you are speaking. Amen. Exodus 34:24 says, "For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year." And so we have, each one of us has our own desires, right? We want good things. But there are other people that desire bad things. And the amazing thing about the Lord is God protects his blessings. Amen. Does it mean we will never be attacked? No. As long as evil is here, we will be attacked. But we have to trust in the Lord that no matter where we go, like, for example, I'll just take it on a practical level. When we leave our house, we trust in the Lord that we can go to work and everything will be fine. Amen. But if something happens, does that mean that we stop trusting in the Lord, right? What happened to Charlie Kirk? You know, I just can't imagine. I've been thinking about his wife and his two kids. It's like, imagine what she is going through, you know? Imagine her as a mom, what she is facing every day. You know, her children are asking, "Where's daddy?" You know, so that is rough. And you think, well, how could that have happened? You know, why did that happen? Because evil is real and evil exists and there is a spiritual battle going on and the devil will do whatever he can to destroy God's people. And he will, if he can take out the loudest voice. I mean, why do you think Jesus was killed? Because he was speaking the truth and his life was taken and it was supposed to happen so that we could have remission of sins. But that is what evil does. You know, evil does not care whether you are a good person or a bad person. Satan seeks to destroy each and every person. Every one of us was created for a purpose. God created us on this earth. The devil only seeks to destroy. He only seeks to kill. He doesn't care if you're a good person or a bad person. He wants to kill you because he hates you. And that's one thing that people don't understand, is they think that the devil is only going after certain, he's only going after Christians. No, the devil is going after everyone. He seeks to kill everyone. And it doesn't matter whether you believe him or not. He wants to destroy your life. So what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe in Jesus or not? Yeah. Okay, so Nehemiah, I'm just going to read this verse. You don't have to turn there. You just write this down. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. And this is Nehemiah praying to the Lord when he came to Jerusalem. He wanted to, before he came to the to Jerusalem, he wanted to know, you know, what are we going to do? We know that Jerusalem has been overrun and it needs to be rebuilt. So he's seeking the Lord. And it says in verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah, he knew that there was something that needed to be done. There was a change that needed to be happen. He knew that there was, but the first thing that he did before he went out was he prayed to the Lord and asked him, Lord, we need your help. Will you give us mercy? Will you show us what to do? Amen. Okay, so I want you to turn to James chapter 4. And I'm actually going to read this out of the English Standard Version. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, where do wars and fights among you come from? Do they not come from your lusts that war in your body? You lust and do not have, so you kill. You desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. And that word means, amiss means wrong, faulty, out of order. Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your passions. And before I go on, I just want you to understand that James is talking to God's people and he's telling them, you know, you can't just go out and just ask God for this and this and this, and then the desire of your heart is incorrect or evil. If the desire of your heart is not right, if it's impure, and it's not, you don't actually have a relationship with the Lord, then what you are doing is you are actually wanting the world more than you are God. You are saying, God, I want all of this stuff in the world. I want all of these blessings, and I want all of this attention, and I want all of this fame and wealth. But you're not saying at all that you desire to have the Lord. And that's where all of this stuff is done amiss. In verse 4, it says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, he yearns jealously for the spirit that lives in us, but he gives more grace? For this reason, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to dejection. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So quite often, you know, if our hearts are lifted up and we do want the world more than we want the Lord, then that can cause our hearts to actually be destroyed by the desire for the world. And God says, no more of that. He says, cleanse your hands, meaning whatever you're doing, make sure your motives are pure. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Meaning, if you're thinking half of you wants to do what God wants and the other half wants to do what the world wants, that's just being lukewarm, then what's going to happen is your heart is going to become impure. So you have to ask yourself, God, where am I being double-minded? Where am I leaning into the world more than I'm leaning into you? What is the true desire of my heart? You need to ask yourself that in every conversation that you have with the Lord. Before you go to the Lord, God, is there something in my heart that's not of you? Is there something in my heart that is speaking louder than you're speaking? Amen? Okay, so I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 10. And before I read that, I want to read this commentary out of my ESV. It says, God promises to come near to all who turn from their own way. Allow him to purify their hearts and pursue a deeper relationship with him. When we show our dependence on God through spending time in his word and prayer, and by following the guidance of his Holy Spirit, God promises to be with us and make his presence and his blessing and his love known to us in a special way. Amen? Isn't that what we all need? So Psalm chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, Arise, O Lord God, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. And I just want to encourage you, when things are not going right in your life and people are coming after you, whether it be a little thing or a big thing, maybe it's someone on your job, maybe it's a person who was a friend and they're not a friend anymore, maybe it's someone in your family who is speaking evil about you, whatever it is, you don't have to go after those people and always have to state your opinion to them. You don't always have to tell them, hey, you're wrong. You're trying to destroy my life. You don't have to do that. Your dependence has to be on the Lord. Just let him work in their lives. Just tell the Lord, God, I am having a problem with this person. God, this person is trying to destroy my life. And ask him, God, what do I need to do? How do I need to pray for them? What verse do I need to stand on? So that I will be at peace no matter what they are doing. Because really, if you think about it, you cannot control that person, right? So you have to let God fight that battle in your life. You have to let him, and he will. Amen? And then flip over to chapter 21 in Psalms. I'm just going to read the first and second verse. It says, The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. You have to have that revelation in your heart that with a pure heart, with a humble heart, you can go before the Lord and ask him and he will give you your heart's desire. Amen. You have to trust in him for that. And then I want you to, actually, I'm just going to read this. Job 14:14, the last part of it says, All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. You have to be patient. Be patient. You're desiring for change. Be patient. It will come. You know, Job went through a harder trial than any of us can even imagine. But he was patient, and God brought, he restored double what the devil stole away. Amen. And I'm going to close out with this. Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read this in the regular King James. And I'm going to start at verse 13. Daniel chapter 2, verse 13. And just a little context to this. Nobody knew who Daniel was until he could interpret a dream. He was just another wise man that had been captured. But until he interpreted a dream, then God exalted him above everyone else in that kingdom. Okay, so Daniel chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." And I just want to pause there for a minute. So, Daniel, it's amazing to me, because of all the wise men, they were about to be killed. Daniel is the only one who was bold enough to know in his heart that God was going to take care of this situation. That God was going to meet their needs and he was going to spare them. And the amazing thing, too, is that You'll read on, and when you recognize the names of the other three, you'll see why they could stand later on. It says in verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." Those names sound familiar? Okay. "That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." So Daniel goes to these three, and we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he basically is showing them, like, none of them stood up to say, "Hey, something could be done." That wasn't birthed in them yet. But seeing that Daniel, all of the power of God that worked in Daniel, later on in their own lives, things happened, and they were willing to lay down their lives and be able to go into a furnace of fire and their lives be spared, because they were okay with that. Because they had that in them that God would answer their prayer. And if he didn't, that was okay. They were willing to lay their lives down. And it goes on to say, verse 18, "that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret." So they're praying to the Lord. "That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Isn't that awesome? And if you don't know this story, basically Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar and interprets the dream, and he becomes one of the most powerful people in Babylon. So I want you to understand that sometimes you may not be a Daniel. Sometimes you may be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you may not realize that something can be changed. You know, not all of us are a Charlie Kirk, right? But Charlie Kirk was willing to stand up and he was willing to speak the truth. Some of us are called to do the same, but maybe it's not right now. Maybe it's not today. Maybe it's in the future when we are faced with a furnace. Maybe we don't even know when that time is going to be in our lives. Maybe we do, and we're just not ready for it. Whatever it is, God knows, and He will prepare your hearts. He is preparing your heart right now, even now. Some of you may go home to be with the Lord before He returns. Some of us may still be here. Some of us may see Jesus coming in the clouds for His people. What an awesome day that will be. But some of us will be persecuted even unto death. That may be hard and it may be difficult to even think about. But God will prepare our hearts. Just like He prepared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They saw the faith of Daniel and they saw what God could do in him. And they weren't afraid when that time came. So prepare your hearts, humble your hearts, ask the Lord, what is the desire in your heart that is not right? Ask Him, God, if there is a motive in me that is not right, I want to stand in faith and I want to stand in authority and I want to pray and have the power that is in prayer that God has given us. But what is the desire of my heart? Why am I standing in faith? Why am I standing in authority? Why do I want this situation to change? What is the exact motive of my heart? That's what you need to ask. And don't think that you need to know the answer to every question right away, okay? Just like Daniel, they prayed. God didn't answer right away. It was later that night in a dream. Sometimes God will show you things at times that you don't expect, but He will speak. Just like Job says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Amen. Your change is coming. It is coming. Amen. You can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, that change is coming, Father. But first and foremost, God, we ask that you would birth in us, Lord, a desire for change, that you would birth in us, Father, a powerful, powerful desire more than anything else, not the desire for things in this world, but a desire for revival in Jesus' name, a desire for the power of you, God, to fall upon us in Jesus' name, to transform our lives, to transform our families, our cities, our nation, and nations all around the world. God, we do thank you and we praise you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you are putting in each of your people the boldness to speak your name, to speak the truth of your word. And Lord God, we lift up Charlie Kirk's family. We lift up his staff to you, Lord. All of the young people who were part of his chapters in Turning Point, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would comfort them, Lord. And God, those people that had so many conversations with him, Lord, we ask that you would raise up Pauls from the north, the south, the east, and the west to speak the truth of your word. God, we know that Stephen had little influence in just that one part of the world, but Paul had world influence all over, all over the world. He went everywhere he possibly could to preach the gospel. So we thank you, Lord, that you are raising Pauls to go to the uttermost parts of the earth in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you are showing each and every one of us here today what is that calling that you have for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Reveal it to us, God. Whether we are young or old, it does not matter. Your callings, your gifts, and your callings are without repentance. You do not change what you have called us to. So help us, Lord, where we need to change to receive that calling. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.